Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday, a couple hours away from ball and the NFL kickoff. Waddle just keeps yelling that all show.
Ball!
It's the Texans at Kansas City.
Ball!
The Son of the Mitch Bowl, part three.
I thought you weren't saying that anymore.
We're not harping on it. We could say it. We're not harping on it. We're talking Bears and Lions as well.
Wait, tonight it's 28-24 at the end of the first half. Mahomes is thrown for four scores and 300 yards, and Watson's close behind throwing for 260 and three tutties, and you're going to be texting all of us with that one big drink in your system going, I hate everybody.
That first drink's going to really
It's going to pollute you.
Yeah. Carmen was telling me, though, the first half under in these nationally televised games, so we'll see. Okay. I think that's something Abdallah used to play as well. But let's bring in Barstool Big Cat. It's been far too long. One of our favorite guys. He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Barstool Big Cat, how the hell are you?
Did you guys lose my intro music? What happened? You lost it? Did that get cut? I'm sitting here waiting, and I guess I don't have it. I'm so happy to be on with you guys. I just want it on the record, though, that when Abdallah texted me last night and asked if I could come on, he didn't tell me that it was Sylvie's birthday today. Yeah. And I said yes, and then I woke up to see that it's Sylvie's birthday. So I want extra credit because it's not like a pity, oh, it's Sylvie's birthday, I'm coming on. I was coming on because I love you guys.
I like the way you flipped that. I thought it was going to be more like, hey, of course I would go on for your birthday.
No.
But you framed it like this isn't a pity joining. This is just me wanting to talk to my boys.
Ball!
Yes. Exactly. There was no pity. I had no idea it was your birthday. Then, of course, you had to, like, upstage me by being like, oh, it's my birthday. Everyone wish me happy birthday. Whatever. I saw you. That was a smart move by you to steal the show. That's fine. I'm just going to be a good friend. It's good to talk to you guys.
It's great to talk to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, where is your level of excitement for football to be officially underway?
10 out of 10. 10 yeah. 11 out of 10 for NFL. College is a different story. I'm still struggling with college because it's just when half of the country's not playing, it's weird. Obviously, I'm a Big Ten guy. But NFL, this is the first sport that we have that can hopefully, knock on wood, have an uninterrupted season with all participants playing, all 32 teams. Obviously, the no fans will be weird. But it's going to be, you know, people can throw out an asterisk for a 60-game baseball season. They can do the same for NBA or for hockey. You can't throw out an asterisk if they play 17 weeks and all 32 teams play.
Amen to that.
Did you think, you know, you were with us when all this stuff was going down. And, like, we had to swaddle you there for a while.
Yeah, hold you.
Did you think any of this was going to be possible with baseball, with the bubbles and hockey and basketball, and now here we are on schedule with the NFL?
I don't know how the NFL did it because it feels like they didn't have a plan. I still think they don't really have a plan. I'm very woke to the false positives that they floated out there a couple of weeks, kind of muddying the waters that we'll see a lot of false positives, but there was times in the middle of April that it was like, how are they going to play any of these sports? The NBA's been phenomenal. It's not even the same sport that the Bulls play. Obviously, the Blackhawks winning a series was fun, and I watch the Cubs every single night. So it's great to feel like we have a little normalcy back.
All right, specifically with our Bears, I know you're going to falsely claim that you've always been behind Mitch, and we all know that's a lie. I know that you fell off that bandwagon last year. How do you feel about number 10 under center on Sunday in Detroit?
I take great offense to what you just said. Just because there was a couple of days here and there where I thought maybe it was not going to work out doesn't mean I wasn't truly believing in Mitch. I'm back. I've read enough of the quotes, enough of the teammates' quotes, enough of Mitch's quotes, enough of Matt Nagy's quotes to be like, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's do it. I'm prepared to get hurt again. I don't care. What's our other option? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a sense for me that this is it. This is the final year. So it doesn't feel as bleak to me. If it was, you know, last year it felt bleak because it was like, well, what's the direction here? This is just, if it works, great. If it doesn't, okay, let's move on. So there's a finality to this year that I think we can kind of shed all of the anxiety. And, of course, tonight we're going to have to watch these two guys play, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever happens this year, we're going to have a move-on moment. And that will feel good. Whether it's Mitch stays and is awesome or Mitch leaves, whatever it may be, we'll have at least a little bit of closure.
So you're telling me you were not buying the, quote, Big Nick energy?
No. So Abdallah told me that you guys are running, when is Nick Foles going to start for the Bears? Yeah. All right. So I'll throw my hat in the ring here. How about 2021 preseason game one?
See, you're talking yourself into
this. Yeah, he is. He isn't
believing.
Okay,
you're not believing.
All right. Here's what it boils down to. I'm sure you guys talked about Matt Nagy's comments earlier this week, and he gave us all a whole dose of perspective when he said the world's not a great place right now. There's a lot of things going on. Why not root for a good story? Why not root for a good story? Why you guys got to be anti-Mitch? Just root for a good story. I'm not saying he's good. He's not good. He's bad. Actually, he's objectively bad. But I'm still going to root for a good story.
Oh, yeah, we're rooting.
Yeah.
But, like, you're sounding like Cap now.
No, don't.
Hey, Cap. How you doing, Cap?
That's the most offensive thing that you've ever said. What's Cap? Where's Cap at right now with the Cubs?
He thinks they stink now. But remember, he doesn't do their pre and post anymore.
Ah, so he's untethered Cap. He's unfiltered Cap. Got it. Obviously, I don't think Mitch is, like, the answer. But I do think he's going to be better than last year. You can't really be much worse. I think they're going to maybe play to his strengths a little bit more. And, like, I mean, let's not forget, this defense was still good last year.
Yes.
Dean Hicks was injured for a lot of it, but it was still a good defense. Those guys are still going to be good. The Bears will be in games. This isn't the energy that we felt when, you know, like, the end of John Fox or the end of Mark Trestman, where it's like, you know, it's a chore to watch the Bears on Sunday. I'm excited. Like, I want to watch this defense ball out. I want to see what happens with Mitch. And guess what? This is the first year where if it doesn't work, we got a Super Bowl MVP waiting in the wings, who I also don't think is very good, but at least there's a backup plan.
Well, we kind of came to the conclusion, even when the Reds and Pirates play, somebody's got to win. And that's kind of like what the quarterback competition was, it felt like here.
Yeah, and guess what? I mean, is this new? The Bears quarterback stinks. Is that new? That's not new. That's forever. That's all we know. So, I mean, this is let's just embrace it. You know, hope that when you have two of the guys, one of them catches lightning in a bottle. And I feel confident about Sunday, by the way. I think the Lions, I know everyone's hyped up about the Lions, but, you know, Mitch does have a little comfort level playing against the Lions, and I feel good. I feel like the Bears are going to win.
We're all on board with that.
Yeah.
We all have taken the Bears.
Let's go. Come on.
Let's go.
You guys are too negative. You're too negative.
Timeout. I've already placed my bet. I've got the Bears on the money line and the Bears getting three. I'm all bared up.
Okay, but there's going to be more than enough time to be negative about the Bears this season. When they start losing games in tragic fashion and kickers and Mitch plays bad and then Nick Foles get injured, we're going to have a lot of time to be miserable about the Bears. Let's embrace and enjoy the couple weeks where we can have that hope and optimism that maybe this year will be different.
Do you believe that if they do, then fail, and I don't want to be too negative then, and like you said,
you're a hater.
Next year you're going to
fail. Wait, they're going to fail. They're going to fail. Come on. They're going to fail.
So are you a Aaron Rodgers to the Bears guy?
No. Gross.
What?
Aaron Rodgers washed up. He's washed up. He's got a bad attitude.
Don't be that
don't
guy.
Do
don't
that.
Be. Don't be that guy that says I don't want to win. If winning means I've got to win with Aaron Rodgers, then I don't want to win. Don't be that guy.
Okay, I'll give you the real answer. I'm not that guy. Obviously, if Aaron Rodgers was great and he wanted to be on the Bears, I would take him in a heartbeat. I truly do think, you know, we'll see what happens this year, but Aaron Rodgers is a guy who has gotten away with insane abilities. And it does feel like of whatever you want to call it, 3%, 5% of those abilities have gone away with age, and what does that look like? And can he still make all those insane Aaron Rodgers plays that he has made in the past? And, of course, when we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, you have to put it into perspective here. Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere without getting more money. You know what I mean? Like, it's not – so you're going to be signing an older guy to a lot of money and hoping that you can recapture old Aaron Rodgers. I just – I don't buy that. I'd have to see it again this year. I'd have to see him – last year, I think, Waddle, you were with me. All year, I thought the Packers were fraud. I thought they were the biggest fraud 13-3 team I've ever seen. I did not think they were worth their record. I did not think that team was as good as they were, you know, some of the games that they pulled out. So, and they didn't help them in the offseason. And it will be interesting to see. I think the Packers are not going to win the NFC North. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. That's my hot take.
Yeah, who's winning the North?
The Bears.
Oh, God.
No, now I've talked myself in a whole loop. I'm like a dog chasing its tail. I mean, I don't know. I think the division kind of stinks, if we're being honest.
Well,
every team kind
of
stinks.
We just went through the exercise, all four of us. Black Abdallah, Sylvie, and me, and I believe only one of us had two teams going to the playoffs from the NFC North. None of us had the Bears going. Are we haters?
No, I think the Bears can actually get in the playoffs. I would not be surprised, especially with 17. I think a 9-7 gets you in the playoffs in the NFC this year. You know, there's obviously some the NFC's kind of top heavy. There's some good, you know, the Cowboys, the Saints. You're obviously going to expect the Bucks to be good, the Seahawks, the 49ers. But that 6-7 spot, it's not going to be. They're not going to be world beaters. So. Why not? The Bears could get in there. But I think overall the NFC North is not going to be one of those great divisions. I think a lot of the teams are going to beat up on each other. And I don't trust anyone. Do you feel confident in anyone?
I don't.
Every team to me has a big question mark. And no one feels like, oh, that's a slam dunk. They're going to win the NFC North.
By the way, we're gamblers now.
Yeah.
Now that it's legal.
We're not good at it.
Love it.
But that doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's for fun.
Yeah.
It's for fun. Have some fun with it.
So here's what I want to know. As a pro like you, how are you going to change, if at all, with no fans in the stands? Like, are there matchups that you would normally go with the home team that you'll be like, oh, no, now the road team is clearly better and there's no home crowd, so I'm betting this differently?
I don't think it matters as much. In the NFL, I think the NFL, everyone's a pro. The lines are really tight. It's, you know, it's just a different beast because there's not, of course, there can be letdown games, but they're not the same as in college, where the college, I think, is where it matters a lot more. And it's more for the home teams, you know, home underdogs, teams that are inferior, getting that boost of their home crowd, getting that boost of a big Saturday night college football atmosphere. Without that, I think it levels the playing field, and you'll get a lot more teams that are just better. You know, the more talented teams are going to have an easier time not having to deal with, you know, you see it all the time in college football. The you know, when Ohio State lost a couple of years ago at Purdue, or, you know, they lose at Iowa, or these crazy games that happen. Seems like sometime every year someone goes to Iowa State and loses a game. I think you'll have a lot less of that in college football.
Hey, by the way, how do you feel about your Cubs?
I don't feel great. I mean, they're fine. They're not World Series caliber, and I don't know. I mean, it stinks to say that and to feel that, but it just feels like the teams that are ahead of them, the Dodgers and the Padres, there's teams that are just playing such better baseball and more consistent baseball. And unfortunately for both Chicago teams, the White Sox and the Cubs, it does, if you look at the schedule, it does feel like if you took out the Pirates and the Royals, it'd be a little bit of a different conversation about both teams. So, hey, you play your schedule, but I'm not sitting here thinking that the Cubs are some great team. They could get hot at the right time, of course, but I don't think they have everything. I mean, what are you, Sylvie? Do you agree with that?
The thing that I've told Waddle all year is I'm in like with the Cubs. I'm not in love.
Right.
Like, it's cool. Like, every now and then we'll hook up, But I'm not. There's no long-term future with this team.
Right. Like, Yu Darvish starts. I mean, even last night when he gave up one bad pitch, they lose. But, like, Yu Darvish starts, I'm in love with them. Kyle Hendricks starts, I'm in love with them. Then we trot out, you know, God knows who. And it's like, okay, maybe this team doesn't have everything. The bullpen, still an issue. The hitting, like when guys just go, when the seems like the whole lineup goes stretches where no one wants to get a hit, it feels like we've been watching the same team for the last 5 years, and we kind of know exactly where the flaws are, and they haven't fixed themselves. And I think that was the hope, that some of these things would fix themselves. And we all know that, like, the weaknesses and what can happen in a series against better pitching.
By the way, do you have your son watching games yet, or betting on any of the games?
Not betting. I'm going to have him start picking games, I think, because he can't do worse than I can, right? Like, I'm so bad that he'll just start picking random games. But we put on the sports. I think he'll look up, but that's also, I think that's projecting. You know, but yeah, I'll be like, oh my God, is he watching right now? And he's like, no, he's not. He's just going to throw something else that I need to go pick up, or I'm going to step on. But yeah, We're going to get there.
Hey, by the way, how have you enjoyed your newest teammate, Deion Sanders?
It's great. I was just telling Abdallah, tomorrow morning, I'm flying first thing in the morning down to Dallas. We're doing our first pro, we're calling it the Pro Football Show, so air on Sunday. And we're going to be at his house, and we're going to be taping that, so it's going to be awesome. But he's electric. I mean, you guys know him. He's an electric personality, so it should be a lot of fun.
Wow, that's awesome.
Hey, I was going to say quickly, do you have a play for tonight's game?
Yeah, the over.
Okay.
How I phrase the over is not radio friendly, but if you go on my Twitter, I have an over play, and I love it.
Okay.
Let's say that.
We'll check that out. Hey, thanks for the pity party today, joining me on my birthday.
Yeah, again, I mean, you know, happy birthday, I guess, but really this day should be about me and football being back.
Yes.
But we'll share it with Sylvie.
That's what we said. We go, look, who loves football more than Big Cat?
Nobody.
The answer is no one.
Nobody.
Let's get him on Thursday. Who gives a crap whose birthday it is?
Yeah, but then you did the tweet being like, hey, everyone send me love. It's my birthday.
I don't want anybody to know. There's no gifts. I'm not accepting any gifts, but it is my birthday.
I'm not even kidding. During this interview, Lewis Riddick tweeted Sylvie saying, I didn't get to say happy birthday. Sorry, my guy. Like, he feels bad because he didn't say happy birthday to him, because he feels bad because Sylvie's putting pity on people.
Oh, geez.
Hey, did you know it's his birthday?
Oh, my God. I don't know even if I said happy birthday to start this show, but if I did, I retracted it.
It used to be a national holiday when it was Waddle's birthday when the show started. So, all right, Big Cat. Enjoy tonight. You're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Right. Thanks, guys. Happy birthday, Sylvie. It's all about you, my friend.
Thank you. There's Big Cat. Happy football.
Ball!
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
I love him. He's such a good dude.
Yep.
Barstool Big Cat joining us. Did you hear this? There was a report today that said Tom Brady was considering the Bears. We'll play that for you next. All right, why don't we take a caller 9 here coming up? I want to play you some sound, and after the sound, we'll get caller 9, and you'll get a week for Nick Foles, which first week he starts in this pool. We've got a couple of gift cards, Jersey Mike's, on the line, so 312-332-3776. This was said today by Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show regarding the Bears quarterback situation and Tom Brady. Take a listen.
Did you know that the Bears were in the final list of teams for Tom Brady? Did you know that?
Are you just messing with me?
No, I swear that the final list that Brady was looking at, the Chargers, the Bears, and the Buccaneers. I was told this yesterday, and I went, wait a minute. The Bears said, yes, Brady was considering the Bears, the Chargers. The Chargers were the long shot because it was West Coast. He didn't want to be on the West Coast, and unless it was San Francisco.
Brady couldn't overcome what the Bears can do to quarterbacks.
But the fact that he was considering the Bears, Chicago at least, because he wanted to be able to be in proximity to New York where his son is. So he's got a son with Bridget Monahan, and they live in New York, and he wanted to be able to be close enough to him, but ended up taking, you know, Tampa Bay. But I found that interesting. I had not heard that Brady was considering the Bears.
You wonder if they made this big pitch to him, too. Like, he was considering the Bears. Were the Bears all in on him? Was that their number one priority, and they kept it very, very quiet?
I don't know. I mean, I never heard anything about that.
Nothing ever leaked.
Yeah, not
that
I would.
We heard the Teddy Bridgewater stuff.
Yes.
But nothing on Tom Brady.
It wouldn't surprise me if Tom Brady, he put him on, you know, that he was considering the Bears. Would it really surprise you if the Bears were not considering Tom Brady?
No. Like, if the Bears were like, Tom called and we're like, okay, we'll listen. That would be typical Bears. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, they have a history of not getting the quarterback situation correct. Now, again, though, I don't, like, Tom Brady coming to Chicago, I never thought was a serious possibility. So I am surprised to hear that from Dan Patrick.
Right, because a lot of people thought he wouldn't consider the Bears. That was, like, whenever we would throw that topic out at the end of the year, like, why not the Bears?
But San Diego was on the list. Los Angeles was on the list. The fact that the Chargers were his third on the list, like, I would have never why would he go to the Chargers?
I thought they were a team that was always rumored.
They were.
For Brady.
Really?
To take his brand to L.A.
Yeah.
But Patrick told you he didn't want to be really on the West
Coast.
Yeah,
I don't think he wanted to be there with his family. I don't think you're going to win with the Chargers. Your Chargers, do you want to go to the Chargers and be in the AFC West with the Chiefs? You're not going to beat. Tom Brady's not going to beat.
Do you think he cares, though, which division he's in?
I think Tom Brady wants to win.
No, I know that. Of course he wants to win. Do you think he's like, oh, no, I can't go there because of that division?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't, but it just feels right for him in Tampa Bay. It just does. Like, I was surprised when it happened, but because I never thought he was leaving. I never thought he was leaving New England. But. Yeah, I never thought he was coming to Chicago. And I didn't think the Bears were interested in it.
Instead, they were interested in a backup quarterback who couldn't beat out Mitch.
Yeah.
That looks good.
Yeah.
312-332-3776 if you want to react. Brian's in Plainfield. Brian, you were caller number 9. What's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
We're doing well. Are you a Mitch guy or are you a Foles guy?
I'm a Mitch guy.
Okay. So you think he's going to have a good year this year?
I hope so. It's going to be a really long year.
So do you think there's a possibility he could keep the job the whole year?
I do. I really do. I just think that if he stays true to what he does and they get him out of the pocket, then we've got a really good chance.
All right.
You don't sound overly optimistic about that, Brian. Brian, I think it sounds like you're talking yourself into
I do.
This perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I was a Cutler guy, too, so what do I know?
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, it's fair.
Well, I think
that we've all been a little bit harmed by the quarterback situation in this town for quite some time.
I was a Rex supporter before that, so, again, what do I know?
How about this question? Cap, throw up this question. I'll let Brian answer, then Waddle, you answer. They asked the question, would you rather have 2006 Rex for this team or 2020 Mitch?
Wow. I'd say Rex.
Rex threw 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions that season, right?
Yeah.
They had an elite running game then, didn't they, with Thomas Jones?
Yeah.
I would say that
I'm still going Mitch because he's more athletic.
Yeah, I'm going with Mitch for the same reason. Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's the week we're getting.
We're ending on a down. We got a half hour to pick this back up.
All right. Let me paint you guys a picture. Let me open. I got an open canvas here. I'm going to paint you a picture. I'm going to put a little bird over there in the corner just for you and me. And here's what we're going to do. Okay.
So Bob Ross.
So listen, Brian. Here, let me start. So Sunday, right?
Sunday.
This Sunday, they come out. They win, but do they really? Do they really?
What does that mean?
I mean, like, you get the W, but you don't feel good about it. Like, we come in on Monday, and you're like, man, they were lucky to beat the Lions. You know, with Robert Quinn out, with Khalil Mack with a bum knee. They were lucky to win that game, but they pulled it out. Then they go to New York. or then New York comes here. You're like, whoa, whoa, what happened? What happened to that game? What happened in that game? They lost that game. Then they go to Atlanta, and you're like, where's the new offense, Nagy? What are you doing? And Trubisky's out here. He's stepping out of bounds 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He's overthrowing receivers. And then you come home and you're like, all right, maybe with the home crowd here, he'll do better against the Colts.
The big home crowd.
The big home crowd here. Second down noise. He'll do well against the Colts. They don't beat the Colts. You know, they don't beat – or no, let's say they beat the Colts. Let's say they beat the Colts. And you're like, okay, they beat the Colts. They beat the Colts, right? Then
– it's not your best painting.
Then Tampa Bay.
This is
listen,
horse crap.
Then listen.
This is your finger painting.
Then Tampa Bay. It's pretty. It's a mural. It's a mural, Brian. Watch out. I'll hang up on you. So then Tampa Bay comes here and just decimates the Bears. And I'm talking not even a few – Cairo Santos even missed a field goal. So with 10 days to prepare – Matt Nagy makes the switch, and Nick Foles is your starter in week 6 against the Carolina Panthers with 10 days to prepare.
I think that's the favorite. If we would have like a gambling line on it,
I bet
that
so.
Week would probably be the favorite because of the extended week.
Yeah, probably so.
All right, Brian, thank you.
Thanks,
hopefully,
Brian.
Hopefully Nick starts all games.
Cheer up, Brian.
Good luck, Sylvie. Hope everything goes well.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you. 312-332-3776 if you want to talk football with us. Lewis Riddick did that earlier, and he's not buying that Mitch will keep the job for long. We'll play that for you next. Lewis Riddick joined us earlier. If you missed it, Lewis is now... one of the voices of Monday Night Football. Steve Levy, a good buddy of ours, too, in that booth with Brian Greasy and Lewis Riddick. So that should be a great booth.
Looking forward to it.
Yes. And he talked about Mitch. He was not, and remember, he used to call him Maserati Mitch. Bleck, where does
Moped
Lewis
Mitch pick? Now.
What's that?
Moped Mitch.
Moped Mitch is what you're dubbing
him? Moped Mitch.
He didn't call him that.
No.
you're calling him a Moped Mitch.
Could you imagine if he did, though?
Yeah, that wouldn't go over well.
New voice of Monday Night Football.
Yeah, welcome.
Discrediting Moped. Quarterback as Moped
Mitch.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't do that.
So, Black, is this him talking about not big belief in Mitch Trubisky?
This starts with Waddle asked the question, what were your first thoughts when you heard that Mitch Trubisky won the starting job for the Chicago Bears?
Honestly, the first thing I thought was, really? That's really what I said. I said, really? And, you know, I sat and tried to think about it objectively. And I thought of it like this. Look, in an abbreviated training camp, okay, if the competition was as close as they say it is, as it was, and neither Mitch nor Nick were able to really do anything spectacular to the point where they felt as though they put distance between a guy who was lagging, then I can see where an organization is going to default to the incumbent and give them a chance first and then let it play out based on the one loss record and how they see the team progressing, you know, from that point on. I can see that. And that's what it sounds like they're doing. I still, though, I will tell you this. Honestly speaking, I don't see this being how the season ends up. And I don't see this lasting very long. I don't see it being a situation where, I have to always say this, as much of a supporter of Mitch Trubisky's I have been and will always be, because I always want to see players do well, I just don't believe that there's going to be something so different now that there wasn't in previous years, and that it's going to be one of those where they wind up sticking with him for 16 games, especially given the fact that Nick didn't do anything bad in this training camp at all. And I still believe if this was one where they had more time, meaning they had OTAs and mini camp and a full training camp and preseason games, where he could truly show in a game-type atmosphere with more exposures exactly all the things that he is able to do within the context of this offense that Mitch can't, that he would have won that job. I believe that wholeheartedly, and I believe that they believe that wholeheartedly, but they decided to start with the incumbent because there wasn't enough time and or opportunity for Nick to separate himself. But I think it's just a matter of time. Because I think that, look, the heat is on in Chicago. The heat is on for Matt. They need to win.
for Ryan Pace, they need to win. And you can't be playing favorites and or trying to protect your investments simply because you don't want to, you know, come to grips with the fact that maybe your investment wasn't the right one when you are faced with a situation like they're faced with, which is you better win because time's running out. And they know that. Matt knows that. Ryan knows that. This team knows that. So we'll see. I just believe that number nine will wind up being under center sooner rather than later.
Lewis Riddick joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So even though you were a believer in Trubisky, you don't believe the light will go on this year?
I don't believe it'll go on to the point where, you know, we see this dramatic change in terms of what he has been, what he will be, and what he's going to be this year relative to what he's been in the past. Okay, I think there's been opportunity for him to do that. And I just don't, I don't see where it's, that all of a sudden it's going to click like that. I don't see this being a Jared Goff type of situation where he's with, you know, his rookie year, he's with Jeff Fisher. The next year, Sean McVay comes in and all of a sudden he flips it around and he is an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber quarterback who's leading his team to the Super Bowl and making those kind of throws. I don't see that. I think there's enough of a resume here that kind of says these are the kind of things he's going to do well. These are the kind of things he's going to struggle with. This is where he's going to kind of get jammed up in his processing mechanism as far as making decisions and making big plays. These are the kind of things he is going to be able to do for you and help you win. And I just don't think that that's going to be enough.
So there was Lewis Riddick. Were you surprised his take?
No. Look, when the deal was made, it was the middle of March, right? And I think that it finally got finalized with all of the particulars announced at the end of March, I believe, right, is when the deal was made. Listen, when I made my prediction that I stood by the entire time that Nick would be the starter, I could not have foreseen. Now, I get it. You know, I think some things had shut down and life was changing, but I never really totally would have factored into my decision that there would be no OTAs, that the training camp would consist basically of 10 practices for the competition and no preseason games. If I'd have known that, would I have made a different prediction? Probably not. I would have stayed with it. So I was wrong regardless. But I can buy what Lewis is saying. If Nick gets acclimated with his team, becomes more familiar with them, has a better opportunity to get in a groove, and then there are preseason games, could it have unfolded differently? I can buy what Lewis is saying. But I think the major message that you're getting from Lewis, a guy that, you know, he's not just a fly-by-night national guy who's just throwing things. No, he studies things. He was Mitch's advocate. He was a big fan of Mitch coming out. He's connected to people in all the right places. His assessment at this point is that Mitch is who he is, and that if you're waiting around for the light to go on and for some big transformation, what Lewis was saying is he doesn't believe that's going to happen. Could Mitch shock all of us? Sure, anything can happen in life. But I my interpretation of what Lewis was saying was if Lewis had to go to the casino and bet on what was going to, he told you he thinks Nick's going to be in there sooner rather than later, but that kind of we've seen who Mitch is, and the thought that he's going to be significantly better this year is kind of just a hope and a dream. That's how I read what Lewis was saying.
Jeff in Portage Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Sylvie. Happy birthday. Sylvie Strong all day long.
Thank you, Jeff.
Listen, maybe Mason can do like a Cubs version of the shirt, maybe an Eloy cartoon character, and I'm all in that.
Okay.
Anyway, all right, so not to drink the Mitch Kool-Aid here, I am a Mitch supporter. I want to give him, honestly, that's not the right word here. Nick Foles won the Super Bowl MVP off of Carson Wentz MVP season.
Right, yes.
He was replaced by Gardner Minshew last year, who may not even last 3-4 games this year before he gets replaced. Now, that being said, I get where, hey, we got to win now. We got in. But that being said, Mitch is the athlete. The draft show, or well, the combine shows that obviously would want either quarterback that's playing tonight. Anthony Miller is supposed to be playing in practice this year. I want to see, before we completely give up on Mitch, let's give him that last straw to gas by. And he seems like he's got the right mindset this year. Maybe Maggie's got the right mindset this year. I just want to see. And here's where I was getting at with before the commercial. I don't know what your guys' partners are at. Mitch at Comeback Player of the Year, 60-1. I think Baker Mayfield on the same sentence is 15-1. You got $50 at the window. Maybe Baker's lasts all year, but I mean, let's go off of that. I mean, let's go off the Vegas ad makers. I mean, no one got trust in Mitch. Is it still sexy to hate on Mitch because he's the starter? I'll leave it at that.
You know what's sexy, Jeff, is to look at it with a clear eye and see that pretty much in every statistical category, our quarterback play finished in the bottom couple of people. The eye test was not passed. The statistical test was not passed. The improvement wasn't there. I mean, you know, this is not kind of beating up on somebody. He's 26. This is his fourth year in the league. It is what it is.
Hey, take a run at that bet. Why not? If
I'm not. Job, that's right? Like 50
not
bucks.
You, yeah, him. I'm Jeff, not. Let Jeff do
Listen,
that.
If Gardner Minshew was on our roster last year, Gardner Minshew may have been playing games for us.
Yes. All right, I want to. We got to come back 332-3776. If you want to talk to us, I don't know if you saw this. Bleck did not. I talked to Bleck during the break. Fox is doing something with Bears and Lions that they're not doing with any other football game. I'll tell you about that coming up next. Remember when Fox did a Cubs game early in the year and they put the fake fans in the stands?
Oh, yes.
With the graphics, yes. The chirons. I don't know what you call those. The they put fake fans. It looked like
CGI,
a video game.
Is it something
CGI,
like that?
Yes. There you go. And it was really, really bad. Like in one angle, there would be no fans, and then they would show you another angle, then there'd be fake
fans. I remember
fans.
How much you hated it.
And a lot of people did. The only game Fox is doing that this week is Bears-Lions.
Really?
So
Why?
Be prepared for that. So I read this today online that ESPN, CBS, and NBC are all, as of now, passing on virtual fans. Because it's stupid to do the virtual fans. Fox, for every game except for Bears-Lions, will not use virtual.
Why? So did what's the explanation for
I don't
why?
Know. I don't know.
No one's watching anyway.
Who's got the call?
I don't know. I asked Abdallah that because we...
By the way, I did see that both Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer are traveling to the game to do the game on radio.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Think about for those who don't know, like when you watch Benetti and Stone, they're doing every White Sox game from the White Sox booth.
Right.
We get Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma, and Shannon Spake.
There you That's go. A new booth, right?
That
Vilma's
is.
New, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
He used to work at ESPN.
Used to be on ESPN.
Just like Casper and JD, when they use JD these days. I don't know why he's not on every game these days. But they do every game from the home booth at Wrigley. They don't travel. But Joniak and Thayer are going, you're telling me.
Yes. I believe they are going to be onside at Ford Field.
Okay. So just be prepared for that. We're getting virtual fans for Bears Lions.
Be prepared for you texting the crew telling us how much you hate it from the very beginning of it.
If the Bears are winning, I'll be happy with anything. Viking Scott in Crown Point, you know it's football season when Scotty's calling the show. Hey, Scott.
6 months, guys, we've been waiting since the COVID hit and everybody got suspended before the NCAA tournament. We've been waiting for this night. Football's back, can't be happier.
What do you got for us, Ragnar?
The Viking love shown today by you guys, except for Waddle, of course, picking the Vikings to win the division. This is a sweet. I'm thinking of calling it ESPN Skull 1000. Love it, guys. Football's back. Just pulled in the driveway. We're going in to have a little tailgate for the Chiefs game. Maybe see the daughter in the stands celebrating her Super Bowl ring. Let's have some fun. Enjoy
Let's
football.
It's
back, baby.
All right, Scott, be careful.
There you go. Scott.
Sounded like you were going to do something unreasonable.
He's one of our favorites.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, so who do you guys have tonight?
I have the Kansas City Chiefs winning by more than 9.5. I think this is a 31-21 game.
Do you think the lack of fans, though, will keep things closer with the home field?
No, I don't. I mean, they're going to have, what, 20 or 15,000 people in there, something like that?
Yeah, what will that sound
like? Yeah, I don't think it. I don't think it'll make that much of a difference.
Abdallah, Black, who do you guys have tonight?
I'm going Chiefs. I'm taking the over with Big Cat. I'm not going to say what he said in his video.
I haven't seen it yet. I got to look at it.
Yeah, but I'm going to go over, and I'm going to take the Chiefs to win. That spread's difficult, though. That's a lot of points. I think the Chiefs pull away late.
Remember,
I think it's going to be closer, too.
The Texans don't have DeAndre Hopkins, so Deshaun Watson is missing his most reliable.
They have Cooks, though, right?
Yeah, he's questionable for tonight's game.
Truthfully speaking, I did the promo code you guys have been pitching all week.
Awesome.
So I've got the Chiefs plus the 101.
Yeah.
But if I didn't use that promo code, I would have gone Texans plus the points.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going Chiefs 27-21. Closer game than you think.
Wow. Okay.
So,
all right.
There you go. All right, and here's Braxton.
Yeah! Sing happy birthday to your dad.
He's jumping all over the place.
Happy birthday to you.
This is going exactly how we planned it.
Did you guys plan this with a kid?
We wanted him to come downstairs and sing happy birthday.
And I was like, hey, could you have the kids go down and
there
sing?
There you go.
Happy birthday.
I don't want daddy.
This is what I deal with every day.
She goes, Mason's not here, so this is not going to work. This is not going to work.
Hey, well, we'll celebrate your birthday with you anytime, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
49 years young.
Oh, boy.
Enjoy your drink tonight, will you?
Yeah. Abdallah, Black, what do you guys have coming up next in 2 minutes?
Sylvie, how far will your baseball team go in the playoffs? That's a question that's on the table.
I think they have a chance to win that first three-game series because of their pitching.
So NLDS is where you're stopping?
Yes, right now. Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk to Cub fans over the course of the next hour. How far will the Cubs go this year in the playoffs?
312-332.
I want Braxton to join you guys for the first hour of the show.
Oh, we'll take him. Yeah, let's go.
The candles. Can I blow out my candles?
Yes! I love it.
Crying.
I love it. That's awesome.
Not happy. And he said, Mommy's birthday now.
Oh,
all right, guys. This is what we deal with every day.
Yeah, we know.
Get the kids back in school, please, soon.
Yes.
all right. Thank you. Who did we have today? We had Louis Riddick.
We had Barstool Big Cat.
Jeff Van Gundy.
We had Jeff Van Gundy.
Pat
Thomasulo. There you go.
All right. Thank you to all of them. Thank you to Black and Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. The baseball show is coming up next in 2 minutes. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
That was a big thrill. Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Penny waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.